We didn't sing. There wasn't any music. And I don't know about you, but I'm pleased I live in a different era, because so many of the songs we sing just lift us up, don't they? Hallelujah. We're going to come to God's Word. Let's just pray. Lord, we come to your Word, and your Word is there for us to understand, to hear, to be challenged, to learn, and to be blessed, Lord. I just pray that all of those things might be present this morning as we just look at this this issue, Lord. Amen. You know, one of the things that I learned during my ministry was that sometimes the preacher, as you're preaching, at the end of it, you think, I didn't do a very good job there. You know, it wasn't what I wanted it to be. I let the Lord down. But often on those occasions, that's the occasion where somebody will come up to you afterwards and say, you spoke right into my heart this morning. You spoke right into my problem this morning, you know. Which makes us, reminds us really, Lord, that maybe the sermon's not for everybody, but it's for somebody. So that was a learning curve for me anyway. So whether I'm good or indifferent or bad this morning, I just pray that it's a blessing for someone. I've headed my sermon this morning, The Mysteries of Life. I don't know about you, but I love a good mystery. You like good mystery? You know, the Marie Celeste. Marie Celeste was a ship which was just found abandoned in calm seas. Its crew had totally disappeared. The table was set for dinner, and there was no trace of the crew. And they were never found. Mystery. The Bermuda Triangle. Have you heard of the Bermuda Triangle? Where in the Pacific, apparently, over a long period of decades and maybe generations, ships or aircraft have just mysteriously disappeared. No trace. Bermuda Triangle. And then, of course, near our home, we've got Stonehenge. Now, why was Stonehenge built? If you visited Stonehenge, you can't feel but be impressed by its size. How were those massive stones transported, all the distances that apparently they were transported? And recently, I was listening. You know, Brian Cox, the astrophysicist. Isn't he a handsome young man? Hey, I'm really jealous of Brian Cox. He's such a handsome man, and he speaks so eloquently, doesn't he? Yeah, there's a lady. The ladies are nodding. And he was talking about the discovery of a square planet. Now, I never really got to the bottom of it because I get lost off fairly quickly when all these physicists start talking. But that a mystery against all known laws I recently discovered. But then, of course, there are bigger mysteries, aren't there? There are, why does the second half of a holiday pass more quickly than the first half? Have you noticed that? Whoa. Whoosh, they're gone. And where do teaspoons in our homes disappear to? Hey, teaspoons, I don't know, not knives and forks, teaspoons, they just disappear. Because the other things that disappear in our homes is when we put our socks into the washer, we put two in and we only get one out. Have you noticed that? Where did they disappear to? It's a mystery. Yeah, you got the answer to that. The what? It's a mystery. But there's another mystery. Why is the fluff in our belly buttons always blue? Have you noticed that? If you've got fluff in your belly button, it's blue. I guarantee. Mystery. I don't know why that should be. But the biggest mystery of all, however, and perhaps the most, well, not perhaps, is the most interesting, is what's the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? What's it all about, this life that we live? What's it all about? Why am I here? Where was I before I was born? Where am I going to go when I die? You know, the answer to that could be that life is just meaningless. It has no purpose. It's meaningless. And if you were to read the book of Ecclesiastes, that's its message. On 35 occasions in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says life is meaningless. Life is meaningless. You know, that's existentialism at its best. That life has no meaning. This is all there is. This is as good as it gets. It's pointless having to ponder these questions because it's meaningless. At its best, life is meaningless. At its best, it's a mystery. And you know, when we allow ourselves to think that way, we can be left distraught. We can contemplate only the emptiness of our lives. And many people have been down that route, gone that route. H.G. Wells, the famous historian, philosopher, and author, who from time to time flirted with the idea of a faith, of a religious faith, but never quite grasped it. At the end of his life, he said this: "I have no peace. All life is at the end of the tether. I have no peace. All life is at the end of the tether." The poet Byron says this at the end of his days: "My days are in the yellow leaf. The flowers and the fruits are gone. The worm and the canker and the grief are all mine." What a sad reflection on one's life. And more recently, about 3 months ago, there was a case of a man who had bought himself a ticket with others to ride on a hot air balloon. And when he was up there, he decided to jump out and end his life. And his workmates had said that he had given up his job a week or so before, and he said he needed to think about his life. A sad end. What a sad end. You know, thank goodness. Thank goodness. The Christian view of life and its meaning is much more encouraging. Hallelujah. Much more encouraging. You know, Paul writes to Timothy that the mystery of life and living has already been solved. The mystery has already been solved for those who look at it through the eyes of faith. And Paul's telling Timothy, the answer is Jesus. I'm going to ask Graham to come and read just a short portion of 1 Timothy 3:16. And I believe there are three mysteries which are revealed in this. You know, the word that we translate in the Bible as mysteries, it has a deeper meaning in the Greek. Deeper meaning in the Greek. The mystery, in biblical terms, is the secrets of God he has chosen to reveal, not something which no one knows. He's chosen to reveal. A gentleman called Dewey Morgan in the Times recently wrote that a mystery, it's not the inexplicable, but the inexhaustible. Not the inexplicable, but the inexhaustible. We have a certain level of understanding, but thank the Lord, we never get to the bottom of it because it's divinely inexhaustible. We're never going to run out of being blessed by it. Hallelujah. Graham.
Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up to glory. Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. Three mysteries. Mystery one, which begs us to ask the question, is there a God? Is there a God? If there is a God, he must be so vast, so awesome, it would be impossible for human beings to reach him. And that's how some faiths see God. They see God as being remote, unknowable, untouchable, too high to stoop down to his creation. And certainly his existence could never be proven. But the God we Christians believe in, we Christians understand him, has done something remarkable. He knew that he was unreachable for human beings to reach up to him. And what did he do? He came to us. Hallelujah. He came to us. You know that Christmas story? We're soon coming up to Christmas. That's come quickly upon us, hasn't it? We'll soon be coming into Christmas. You know, the shepherds rushed through the streets of Bethlehem. And they discovered not just a baby. They discovered that God had in fact appeared in a body. God coming to us. God coming to us. That truth has been proven time and time again throughout. He proved it throughout his life. He was what he claimed to be. Those who have seen me have seen the Father, he said. I hear all the time people say, Jesus never said he was God. Well, I don't know what form of words you want. But to me, that and others, those who have seen me have seen the Father. That answer came in response to Philip's request to Jesus, show us the Father. He says, you have seen me. You've seen the Father God. So for Christians, there's no doubt about it. There is a God. The next question is it possible to know this God? Is it possible to have a relationship with him? See, when Jesus was born, supernatural events accompanied his arrival. Virgin birth. Supernatural. Angels announced the coming of Jesus to Mary and Joseph. It was the Star of Bethlehem. Angels appeared to the shepherds. You know, for us, for our present generations, the route to knowing God is less likely to be a supernatural one. Tempted to say something about that, but if you have a supernatural revelation of God, if that's you, and you have a supernatural relationship with God, be prepared for a difficult life as a Christian, because you need the reassurance of that supernatural revelation to carry you through difficulties. Most of us, our revelation of God is a bit more gentle. Nevertheless real, but a bit more gentle. Hallelujah. You see, the good news that the shepherds went off to preach has been preached unbroken for 2,000 years. For those who seriously want to find if it is indeed possible to know God, then they have no choice but to consider the claims made for and by Jesus. John 3:16-18 explains God's love for the world expressed through the sacrifices of his only Son. Jesus Christ is to offer eternal life to those who believe in him and have saved and save humanity rather than to condemn it. When you look at your life through the eyes of faith, some of the mystery is revealed of who you are and who God is. Hallelujah. You see, he comes to give us life. He comes and he lives within you and I. Think how remarkable that is. He comes to live within you and I. Not just to walk alongside you and be your friend and hold your hand in times of crisis. He actually comes to live within you. He comes to give meaning and direction as you give yourself to him. He knows you infinitely. He wants the best for you. And has plans to achieve just that in and through you. He knows you better than your husband or your wife. He knows you even better than yourself. I mean, these are wonders. He knows you even better than yourself. He wants the best for you. There's plans for you. You can share your joys and your sorrows with him. We can know him and we can walk with him and we can talk with him. So is it possible to know God? You bet your bottom dollar it is. It is possible to know God. But that third mystery. But what is this life for? Yes, we can determine that there is a God for ourselves. We can set our lives up where we can know him and walk with him. But what's the life for? You know, if there's no God, then there's no life, really. And if there's no life, it's a pretty pessimistic future that we have. Our life has been a pretty pessimistic one. Pretty pessimistic. 20th century philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre says this: life is an unpleasant interlude of nothingness. And then we die. His last words were reported to have been, "I failed." A deep sense of regret or failure. You know, all those who have subsequently believed in Jesus have developed a different view of life than Jean-Paul Sartre. I remember many years ago when I was asking, what's the purpose of my life? What's the purpose of anybody's life? And I read about St. Augustine, and I've never forgotten it. I'll never forget this. If you're looking for a reason for your life, he said, he, the Father, made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until we find peace in him. Hallelujah. Our hearts are restless till we find peace in him. You know, those shepherds who found the baby Jesus, who found the God in the cradle, left the presence of Jesus profoundly changed. Profoundly changed. And for Christians, this world and its achievements are no longer the purpose of living. We live in a anticipation of joining Christ in glory. Joining Christ in glory. See, if our purpose for living is solely our jobs, solely our hobbies, solely making money, even solely making our families the be-all and end-all of everything, then life will ultimately be unsatisfactory. There'll always be a piece of the jigsaw missing. There will always be a piece missing. But living in anticipation of heaven, however, can it help but change our perspective on all things? On all things. Hallelujah. Living in anticipation of heaven changes our perspective. So questions I want to leave with you. Are you happy? Do you have peace? Are you enjoying life? As I said earlier in the service, Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life in all of its fullness. Read that for yourself in John 10:10. Life in all of its fullness. You know, we'll be celebrating communion in a little while. And in doing so, we are acknowledging that Jesus is God's way of making the great mysteries of life and existence known. Sometimes we can be blasé about the things that we do regularly. They lose their power. They lose their ability to change our lives. We lose their power to bless us because we become so familiar with them. You know, communion is a great way of declaring the love of God in Jesus as it declares the power of his death, the power of his life, the power of his burial, and the power of his resurrection. That he should give his son as a death payment to set us free. And the wonder is, he did that and he continues to do that while we are still sinners. I've met a number of people in my life who said, I can't be baptized. I'm not good enough. And it's just sad. It's a sad situation to be in because they're still working to prove their own salvation, you know. You come to the Lord at your worst. Just as you go to your doctor. If you're ill and you get better, you don't go to the doctor 2 weeks later and say, hey, I was ill 3 weeks ago. I needed you, but I didn't come. You come at your worst. And that's what Jesus says. Come to me at your worst. And together we can make things better. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you truly can make the unknown known. We thank you that you haven't clothed yourself in clothes of a mystery. That you have come to us. And it's our responsibility to embrace you and walk with you and to know you more. And in knowing you more, we know ourselves better. Lord, we thank you for that. So Lord, help us to be renewed. Help us to realize all that you have done for us, all that you want for us. And help us to recommit ourselves to declaring the Lord's death until he comes again. Amen. Just take a few moments to just ask yourself what the Lord might have been saying to you in these last moments. Lord. Come to this table.